Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, baby.
Hello, my love.
Ready to talk about some sex?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sex?
One, two, three, four, five, sex on my mind.
I can just picture you dancing around to that while you're cleaning the house.
Yo, not gonna lie, Upsol's track, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sex, it has made its way onto my work, Spotify work playlist.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
would it make it onto your sexy time playlist?
No. I've been giving that playlist some use though.
Oh, good.
and I gotta say, because I was like, that was a big part of our, like, when we first started the podcast, I was like, yeah, maybe I'll make a, because I was all about making fuck playlists.
Yeah.
Like playlists for making fuck.
Yeah.
And I had like a number on the go, and then we were like announcing that we would release it for people if they wanted it, and then like, I don't know, it was like a few months later or maybe like a year later, Becca deleted all of our Apple Music, like our entire library, which also wiped out my playlists, and I had most of my sex playlists, like several of them in there. Mm-hmm. But on Spotify, I only had the one. I had the one, like, OG one that started it all.
Yeah.
And I don't use Spotify, really. I just did it because I knew that some of our listeners probably had Spotify. Mm-hmm. And I also knew that at the yoga studio where we taught, there was Spotify. And so it was like, okay, well, I'll just chuck all my playlists onto there.
So that you can play it while you're having sex at the yoga studio?
No. It was just like all my playlists just went onto Spotify because a lot of them I was using to teach yoga.
Mm, yeah.
Not specifically the sex podcast one or the sex one.
Yeah.
But a lot of those sex songs are making all my fucking yoga classes too.
I have like a low-key Smang It playlist as well, but it's called Songs for Moto, essentially. I mean, it's exactly the same playlist.
I mean, if Moto wasn't a franchise of hot yoga studios, it could be lingo for
Mojo.
Panky. Yeah, yeah. Like songs for Mojo. Songs for Mojo.
Maybe I'll just change that one letter.
So anyway, but now I use Spotify. Now I just use Spotify. I don't know, I've drank the juice. And
you're
I've,
a convert. Do you have a login that I can use?
No, I'm on Brian's. I'm using Brian's family plan. Although we might as well just start a family plan. Yeah, you and I can do that.
That's a great idea.
So wait, why was I? I'm still asleep. I'm sorry. Why was I
1, 2, talking 3, about 4, sex? 5, 6.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mind. Yeah, that song's too. My sex playlists are more like, dude. I almost exclusively fucked a Kendrick Lamar. Like it is just.
My God.
Like slow jam rap fuck tunes. Like that's all
do
I.
Do you have a choreograph?
No, but I know what you're saying. No, I don't know how to fucking move, man. I can't dance.
I had a one night stand that brought his own playlist.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I've been there. I've been there. I've only done it in my own home.
Yeah.
I haven't brought my sex playlist to other people's houses.
Mind if I hook my? Yeah.
Hey, can I
pop in my mixtape?
Yeah. You got a cassette player?
I've been smanging to this playlist since 1988.
Although I will say, I played it recently during like a little fun time, and I was like, God, this is like a 4-year-old playlist. This shit needs to be updated. So maybe I'm still spending a lot of time at home. Maybe in prep for the second wave, mm-hmm. I'll make a new TMO Smang It playlist, and you can follow me on Spotify, Jeremy Saunders, and you know.
And busy. I'm on Apple Music, and it's called Songs for Moto. but maybe I'll be migrating over to Spotify shortly. Well, yeah, I'm glad we started off on that note.
Me too.
That musical note.
Hey, it's been Pride Month.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I mean, on the release of this day, it's July 1st. So we've just kind of concluded the month of June, the whole month of June.
Right.
Pride. And it's been a very different Pride this year.
Yeah. It's been, it has been.
But it's been a very similar pride to the original pride, which was 50 years ago.
Hmm.
In what sense? Well, so the very first sort of organized pride, it wasn't called pride. I don't think it was called pride at the time, but on June 28th in 1970 was the first pre-organized get together to celebrate gay pride. And I think it was that day in history. It was a year later, after June 28th, 1969, which is sort of famous, the famous beginnings of pride, the pride movement at that point, held after the what's it called? The Christopher Street Liberation Day. Which is also known as the Stonewall Riots or Stonewall Rebellion or Stonewall Uprising, depending on who you talk to. Mm-hmm. So this all refers to a raid that was held at a gay bar in New York.
Oh, yes.
June 28th, 1969.
Yes. I just watched Disclosure last night, and which is a documentary on Netflix all about... Basically, it's a documentary on Netflix about the like very, the very narrow representation of trans people in film and television.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought up that there was a whole section in the documentary about that bar and about what that bar represented and about that event, about that unfortunate raid. On that bar.
Well, was it unfortunate? Because it was brutal and violent. And
yeah, so I would say that's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. I was listening to do you know the podcast Today in History?
No.
Or This Week in History, I think it's called. And the episode that I was listening to was about the Stonewall Uprising and a retelling of the night by someone who was there, a young gay man who had just moved to New York about 6 weeks prior. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I was just listening to it this morning. And he was saying that basically he was talking about people were getting their money taken and people were getting pushed around and people, and then it erupted and things were getting thrown. But basically there was this moment of realization where, the storyteller was saying that they outnumbered the people in the bar living their lives, being gay, were outnumbered the cops who were in the bar. So he was, the way he was telling it was like, we actually incarcerated, I think is the word he used, them that day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so definitely super tragic, but also the beginning of, you know, the seeds of pride, because in the 50s and 60s, it was illegal to be gay, and people were coming, police could come into a bar and arrest someone they perceived as being male for being dressed as a burlesque dancer, let's say.
They were talking about this in Disclosure as well. I think the charge was, so if you were trans and you went to a, you know, whatever, a bar, and you're a trans woman, you could get arrested and the charge would be like impersonating a woman.
I read that as well, that trans men could be arrested for not wearing enough pieces of feminine clothing. Like it was like a quota.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty intense. And it's just like remarkably similar to today, where riots and uprisings are starting in response to police brutality, specifically against Black folks, and that often intersects with people in the Pride community. So specifically, we're talking about Black transgender folks right now, and it got me thinking again. I think many, many, many episodes ago, we had an interview or a conversation with someone on the subject of intersectionality. Do you remember that conversation?
Mm. Yeah, vaguely.
Okay. So the term intersectionality, which is like one of those terms, I'm not going to lie, that probably a year ago I would have been very, I was very unfamiliar with it. And I would have probably said like, oh man, that goes right over my head, you know, but after being exposed to the term and the way it's used and what it means so much more through the conversations that we've had and so on, it's now something sort of familiar and in my vocabulary, not that I'm an expert on it, but I wanted to bring that up because I know we have a lot of newer listeners or people that may not get access to that sort of languaging
define it by in your own way
in my own way?
Because I'm a dope, I like, we've probably talked about this like several times on the podcast, and I just you know, everything just goes in one ear and comes out the other for me.
So the term was coined by a Black woman educator at UCLA, and it means intersexuality.
Intersexuality.
No, intersectionality. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, I thought we were talking about
intersexuality. Is a different thing.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you. I need the definition of intersectionality.
It refers to how intersecting social identities. Mm-hmm. So LGBTQ, any one of those letters, LGBTQ2S, LGBTQI2S folks, who may also mm-hmm. be black, or who may also be Latinx, or who might, or
okay,
might
so,
be, you know.
Right. So the intersection of is it specific to like minority groups?
No, it's
or is it like I guess you could use intersectionality like even within the context of anything.
Yeah. It's
but when we're talking about it, we mean specifically intersectionality within particular groups of people who are being oppressed.
Yes, exactly. So it could Got have it. To do with race, it could have to do with gotcha. Physical
abilities,
yeah, yeah. etc.
Gotcha.
And so basically, especially right now when we're all at home evaluating our privilege and our like how we've benefited from living in a society that was built for us, white cisgendered people, when we're home considering that, we're not only being like, yeah, you know, if I was black, you know, this is what my reality would be. But what if you were black and gay, or black and trans, or mm-hmm. black and trans and
disabled?
Disabled? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was the right term.
Crooked.
But you know, like we have
yeah,
to.
I get you.
We have to like when we're thinking about our you know our privilege to love who we love and walk around safely in the world. We have that not only because we're white, and not only because we're able-bodied, and not only because we're cis, but like all of those sort of minority identities that you fall into make you more and more and more likely to experience what's the word I'm looking for?
Oppression.
Oppression. Yeah. That's
discrimination.
Exactly.
Hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And violent crime.
Yeah.
And violence against and violence from the people who are supposed to be protecting us as well.
Babe, you got to watch Disclosure.
I can't wait.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great film, especially as like a film nerd. It was really fascinating. Like the history of trans people like making appearances in film and television, and like obviously the majority of it is just horrendous and horrible and you know very reminiscent of like those like early black and white films from the like early 20th century of like like minstrel shows with blackface, like it's very reminiscent of that. It's just like gross, horrible stereotypes, and like they cover everything from like way back in the day all the way up to like how it's being perceived as even now. Like on I haven't watched the show, but our roommate Aaron is a huge fan of it. The L Word.
Oh, okay.
And they were discussing the a trans I'm gonna fuck this up. the definition of it, a trans masculine person on the L Word. Someone just hit me up and correct me there if I didn't get that right. And I forget their name, but of the character, but it was like the first time that they introduced this kind of character into that show. And how at first glance, someone might be like, hey, that's great. That looks like it's including trans people in this show about lesbians. But then they really dive into like why it was problematic and that all of the things that they really missed the mark on. Mm. And it was just really fascinating. Very fascinating to learn about the history of black trans people as well. They touch on that quite a bit in the doc. And to be quite honest with you, like it was a real, I was very bummed out watching the doc. Like it's like the same reason why I was bummed out when this recent like uprise of Black Lives Matter movement kind of exploded in the last month, was because it just made me realize how much I've missed the mark in my life, you know, like, and so, yeah. So I would say it's like for anyone out there who wants to better themselves and become more educated and more clear on, I think learning the history of this type of stuff is very important. I think it offers us space to like really sit with all of our own hangups and the things that we've come up with and like why we might have thought the way we used to. And what I mean by that is like they were referring to these movies that I watched as a kid that I loved, right? One example is like Ace Ventura. Who fucking doesn't love Ace Ventura?
Love it.
It's great. And then and then they refer to the scene at the very end of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, where he finds out that like the
football player.
No, it was like the hot woman that he like made out with.
She's a detective.
She's the other detective.
Sorry, this is a spoiler alert. She's a detective, but
right. So she's the detective, and they had like a hot, like steamy makeout sesh earlier in the movie, and the movie's over. And then he like very like it's fucking crazy to watch it in this documentary. Yeah. But like he exposes her to this entire warehouse full of people, and like rips her clothes off. Rips her top off, and you see she has tits, and he's like, oh no, no, like that's not good enough.
She doesn't and have tits.
She does.
No,
go back and watch it, babe. I watched it last night.
But
rips her skirt off, and she's got panties, and it doesn't look like she has a dick. And he's like, oh shit, no, this isn't good enough. And then he turns her around, and like this comical like dick has been tucked up and under, and you can see it like pushing out through the underwear on her butt, and everyone's reaction in the whole warehouse is they all vomit.
Right.
Okay, so as a, you know, what was I? Seven? Like a 7-year-old boy who, like, that's my first impression of how to react
to
the thought of a trans person.
Uh-huh.
You know? And one of the things that they pointed out, which really struck me, was like, they said, according to statistics, 80% of Americans say that they do not know a trans person in their life. Mm-hmm. So if you do not know a trans person in your life and you're a 32-year-old male, such as myself, and the only trans people in your life that you have had any sort of experience with is strictly through the media, which is where we learn fucking everything.
Yeah.
What is your perception of that person? What's your perception likely going to be?
Yeah. Well, it's like probably the same as any, you know, it's probably super tied up in like people's first, you know, if you're from an all white community, your first experience of anything outside of that is like, who knows? So dependent on how you've been taught to be with people who are different than you.
I
really want to watch the documentary. I've been doing like home renovations, so I've been listening to a lot of podcasts instead of watching things. And I heard Brene Brown was talking to Laverne Cox, who I believe must have been a producer on Disclosure.
I don't know if they were a producer, but they're definitely like one of the key, speakers, like one of the key interviewees.
Yeah.
But I don't, it just stars them. It doesn't say, I'm actually on the IMDb right now. Laverne, and for those who don't know, Laverne Cox is the black trans woman who, I think like her breakout role was,
Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's fucking awesome, and she's really great in this. But I mean, it's not just her. Like the entire cast are trans people.
So I have two questions.
Yeah,
I the reason I wanted to, well, I want to watch it anyway, and but this one of the things that really intrigued me in the conversation,
She's an executive producer. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Between her and Brené Brown was something that I guess is talked about in the documentary, or something that's stated in the documentary, which is basically the more confident we get, the safer and more confident we get as a community, the more dangerous we're in.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, yeah. They say that very early on in the film.
Mm. So intense. I mean, when you think about that, like, you know, any sort of pride or, you know, celebration or ability to stand in your own shoes and be like, this is who I am, and have that, like we've never faced anything like that.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And like, if you were someone who were, like, you know, someone coming up in the 70s who was trans and was living life in stealth and didn't expose that or didn't disclose that information.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, are you more, like, are you safer that way?
Yeah.
You know, that's, which is such a fucked up thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of fucked up, in sort of preparing for this conversation, I thought I would, you know, basically, like, we're glued to the news and we're repeating the names of the Black folks that have been murdered, and Indigenous folks and that have been murdered by the police, and so I kind of wanted to just take a look and see if I could highlight any particular cases. But what I came across was a Wikipedia article called List of People Killed for Being Transgender. And it basically, it's definitely an incomplete list, obviously, because we're just going by things that have been reported.
And uploaded to Wikipedia.
Yeah. And it starts in the, and it's by year. And it starts in the 1980s and it goes all the way to today. And it's like, it goes into detail basically on each person's death. And a lot of the times it's like shot and killed by someone who took them home for, you know, on a date or like whatever.
For simply disclosing.
Disclosing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was very, very, you know what? Very dark. And you should go and look and just read all their names out loud.
This is, so every year here in Halifax, and I know that this is no different no matter where the fuck you live. There's variations of this, but every year here in Halifax, well, every year for the last like couple of years, they've been doing this thing where as a cisgendered white male who really doesn't know much about anything, I look at this and think it's a really nice gesture. I think it's a great thing that we're doing in the city. I know it's not, you know, it's not like, it's not creating much change, but it's like a nice thing to see and also fucking far more visually interesting. They'll go around the city and they'll respray the crosswalks with rainbow colors.
Oh yeah.
And you know, we have like our version of like, there's like an Instagram account called like Halifax Noise. And I feel like most major cities like have their version of this account, which is, you know, the account that's just like posting all the things that are like happening in the city and what you need to know and, you know, staying up to date. And Halifax Noise will be like, they'll repost a post of like, hey, here's like the new rainbow crosswalk at Spring Garden and Roby. And the people that come out and fucking shout from the mountaintops about why, like, you know, it's the pride version of the All Lives Matter fucking fuckheads. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the like those people that come out and go, why do they get like why do they get their own march? Why do they get their own
sidewalks?
Why do they get their own month?
Crosswalks.
Why do they get their own crosswalks? It's like. Because you keep killing them, motherfucker. Mm. That's why. Mm. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Are you kidding me? Like, open your eyes. Open your heart. Open your ears. Take a second and look around.
Yeah.
This happens every year because we need to like, there needs to be change. There needs to be change, a massive change in the way. And then it's like, you look at Black Lives Matter, basically, I don't mean for this to sound out of place or like, or offensive in any way, but Black Lives Matter cast a gigantic shadow over Pride this year. Mm. And I'll tell you one thing right now. I know a very large amount of people who consider themselves to be a part of the LGBTQ community. I didn't see a single fucking person in that community step up and say, well, what about our month? Mm-hmm. What about us?
Yeah.
No, you know what they did? They joined the fucking movement and they said, yeah, this is also just as important.
Yeah,
because it's all fucking connected. All of it is connected.
I'm throwing it to that intersectionality again, you know.
Right, that's the word, intersectionality.
Oh man.
Anyway, I'm off my soapbox there, but
no, it's super aggravating because, like, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement and it's like, well, if you're either racist or you're anti-racist, because if you're just not racist, that actually doesn't exist. You're still part of the problem.
Yeah, you should be seething at the fucking, like, you should be frothing at the mouth to end racism, like to get rid of that shit.
Yeah, like, and a couple of hundred years too short, but you know, it's so funny. I posted something on Instagram the other day. I was like I said, I'm doing home renovations, and I'm over at my grandparents' estate. You know, my grandmother died this year, and I'm cleaning out a whole lifetime of belongings from the 50s onward, at least. Not even to mention like all of her ancestors that have their shit in the attic, you know? So I'm fucking scraping carpet glue. Someone fucking glued carpet to the staircase, and I'm just fucking at it with the scraper. And I posted on Instagram because I had asked for advice from home DIYers on how to get this shit off. And everyone was like, oh, it's just, you're kind of stuck now. So I'm on it. And my friend reaches out to me on Instagram. She goes, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, just trying to fix all the mistakes of my ancestors, you know, just like, because it's all there in the carpet glue, you know,
smattered down into the floors, artwork, deep into the floors,
and artwork that, like, you know, is bit like was collected and whatever that had base was based in like stereotypical racist, you know, depictions of like Black dancers and,
wait,
you know.
What? There's that. You had that shit? Your grandparents had that shit kicking around?
Okay, this is so... Well, I mean, at the time, it was let's say this is from a piece of art from 1950s. And what it looked like had happened was my grandmother had probably bought it in a frame, but used this piece of art as like the backing of her own like... needlepoint or whatever. Like, she put this needlepoint thing in a frame, but used this like piece of art as a backing. And so when I took the needlepoint out to throw out the frame, I found this like it, and I put it in the garbage can. So otherwise I'd show it to you, but it had like, it was like a, mosaic sort of print of like, but definitely they were of definitely two Black folks, one on like some drums and the other doing like the limbo, but like topless. And I was like, oh, I kind of like this. And then I looked at it a little longer and I was like, this is probably super racist.
Yeah, sure.
Considering the time and probably like the tokenality of it, whenever she found it at a yard sale or whatever, you know? Oh man. But like, I, you know, and my dad's passed away too. And there's like this real like dying off of the old guard. Like I literally said out loud the other day, like, I'm really glad my dad's not around. My dad was like, would not have considered himself a racist man. Right.
No,
and,
no.
And for sure not, but had a tendency of saying things
that he just shouldn't
have said. And so, you know, it's like, this like dying off of the old white guard and, In the midst of a revolution, which it seems like, although based in tragedy, is also very hopeful and exciting. Did the documentary talk about Stormy DeLarvery? Does that ring any bells?
Stormy DeLarvery.
Yeah, DeLarvery. Yeah.
I
don't think so.
Don't think so. American Bouncer. Although these photos look familiar. Yeah, sorry. You know what? I can't recall.
So.
I can't recall.
So that doesn't surprise me, and I don't know if this person, at the time, I don't know if this person referred to themselves as trans, but it was a like, DeLarvery was a
the lesbian who started Stonewall.
That's what that. So I listened to a podcast called Code Switch. I've just started listening to it since Black Lives Matter, and it's an NPR podcast. And
I think you really need to specify that there's an NPR version, because on Spotify there's another podcast called Code Switch.
Oh,
and it's not that Code Switch.
Oh, interesting.
And I've actually seen people share stories to be like, "Hey, listen to Code Switch," and I'm like, that's
not the one.
I mean, it's not the one. There's two.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't listened to the other one. I haven't listened to the non-NPR one. So maybe it is also a great podcast to listen to get information. Yeah. But the NPR one.
The NPR one is
great.
One.
I've listened to it, and I can vouch for that as well.
So there's a recent one. It came out June 27th called They Don't Say Our Names Enough. And they tell the story of Stormy, who, like you said, a lesbian. I think they refer to.
I honestly, like, full disclosure, I just read. I have an article here, After Ellen. .com, and that's the title
after
from the
Ellen?
Archives.
Like After Ellen DeGeneres?
Oh, I don't know what that means. It just says After Ellen. From the archives, an interview with lesbian Stonewall veteran Stormy DeLarvier. DeLarvieri?
Yeah. but it's really interesting because in Code Switch, they refer to her as a butch lesbian, but. In some contexts that I'm also reading, they refer to Stormy as biologically female, but lived as a man, and was known for just being like devastatingly charming with the women. I didn't realize that this person was an important part of the Stonewall situation, because I don't think they mentioned that in Code Switch. They just talked about this biologically female lesbian living as a man and using the pronouns he and his, and just being this a bouncer, but like a magnetically charming trans I think all things considered trans person. Anyway, I was just curious because when I looked up photos of Stormy, I was like, damn, this looks like a crooner, like I don't know if crooner is the right word, but like a smooth sort of.
Oh yeah. Like kind of a fucking like Rat Pack kind of like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like really elegant photos. Definitely the kind of lesbian that I would be susceptible to be attracted to. That's sort of my I think if I was going to pursue a relationship with a woman, I think I'm more attracted to butch lesbians than feminine lesbians.
Sure, right. Did you ever watch The L Word?
No.
Cool. Well, I mean, I hope you know, this was nice. I'm glad we got to talk about this. I hope you watch Disclosure, because I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are on it. And listeners, like, I'm not gonna lie, I am a snob when it comes to watching movies and shit. And
yeah, you are.
And I have no qualms with being like, yeah, that just fucking bored me. I see what they were trying to go for there, but I just didn't like it. Disclosure is captivating. Like, it was really good. I wasn't ready to watch something. I just was like, I'm gonna put something on because I'm about to make some food. And almost 2 hours later, I was like, fuck, I'm starving. Oh my God. I just didn't get up. I just watched the whole thing. So it really is wonderfully done and really made me think, and really, I think just really an important piece of film. Mm-hmm. So especially if you enjoy film history or film at all in any regard, it's, wow, what a great watch. So definitely go check that out. That's my Just the Tips for this week. And maybe we won't hit a brain boner.
No, I think we're good. I think we've, and also folks listening at home, feel free to reach out and share with us what sort of resources you're using to educate yourself. And we are just, you know, we're committed to being more inclusive as well with our resources and mm-hmm. our diversifying our educational resources on the subject of sex and sexuality.
Doing the work. I might not remember much, but we're doing the work.
I think it leaves a mark, even though you might not be able to recall all the facts. And
you know what? I think I'm mind blind.
Okay.
We can put a pin in this and go deeper a little bit later. But I took I don't know where I found it. Someone must have applied to Sick Boy or something, or I saw something online. But it was a tweet. It was a tweet about research being done on this condition
called mind.
That's not the technical term. The technical term is, hold on. Looking it up here. You can vamp for me, maybe.
I guess while you're looking at that, I'll just reiterate my Just the Tips then for today. Is that Code Switch podcast? Code Switch by NPR podcast. The episode again that I mentioned was They Don't Say Our Names Enough, but they have. Oh my God, I was listening to. I know this is not sexuality based, but the episode from June 17th called "Why Now, White People" is like so important to listen to. The hosts are sort of like, okay, like so many black educators are facing right now. Okay, we just got like 100,000 new followers. What the fuck is up? And they're just totally confounded. And like, and I'm listening to it being like, yep, I'm one of those people who's like newly subscribed to all these podcasts and all of these Instagram influencers, and you know, that's me, and it's important to hear. And they go out and they talk to people about why now, and the answers are so interesting, and it cleared up some things for me too, because I have that question as well. It's like, is it because of the pandemic? Is it because we're here and we're realizing how fragile and, you know, how privileged we all have been just in the world, not we all, but like cis white people have been in the world. And now that we're at home and we're like, what about all the things that I like to do? Maybe they're not as important. Maybe it's more important to be kind to people and spend quality time with the people I love and take care of my health as much as I can, or whatever, you know, like whatever values you're rethinking. at least when I heard that on Code Switch, when someone said, well, I think this is why, I was like, yep, that makes total sense to me. But there's lots of other things that they sort of discuss and talk about. And one episode as well, that really, really broke my heart, talked about, it was a black woman who's been in a relationship, married to a white man, and she was talking about, like, with the revolution and everything going on, she's just absolutely terrified. And one of the most heartbreaking things for her is that none of her white family members have reached out to just say, like, thinking of you any of that kind of stuff. And she said, it just fills me with dread. And it's got me thinking about, like, what are the authentic ways to... one of the things they talk about in the Brené Brown podcast with Laverne Cox is proximity, which is another word that I'm just starting to understand is a point of discussion in the movement, which is like, basically, do you have any black friends? Do you have any mm-hmm. trans friends? But the problem with, like, pursuing those people as friends because of the movement,
it's like fetishizing the friendship.
Yeah, and Laverne Cox is like, I am not the work.
Yeah.
But my friends, she says, my friends do the work because they value my mm-hmm. life, and they would, even if I died today, they would continue their fight for my rights. Yeah. So, but proximity, proximity being, I can't remember why I brought that up, but yeah, like, what are the authentic ways to, like, let my black friends know that I'm here without asking them, without them putting them in a position where they feel like they have to respond or they have to, like,
well, I think that's you, it's just that. I mean, I don't know, but that's what I did. You know, like I, when I was feeling all that, all those feels during the first week of this, I reached out to my friend Z, and I just said, hey man, listen, in no way do I want you to feel like you need to respond to this at all. And please just, like, don't, unless you absolutely need to, because I'm sure that you are feeling all sorts of things right now and are very busy and stressed out. But I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you and that, you know, I'm sure this must be really tough for you and a lot, and, you know, just sent, like, a sentiment of being, like, I felt like that last night where watching Disclosure, I was just like, fuck man, I want to shoot a message to, my friend Brandy and just be like, hey, thinking of you and I love you.
So I guess that,
you know, I don't think it has to be anything more than just expressing that you're thinking of them.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we should throw to today's episode.
Yes, we will. But I found this thing that I think I might have, and I'm going to do a little more research into it. Maybe we'll talk about it a little later. But it's called aphantasia. Aphantasia. It's a mental condition characterized by an inability to voluntarily visualize mental imagery. Many people with aphantasia also report an inability to recall sounds, smells, or sensations of touch. Some also report prosopagnosia, which is the inability to recognize faces, which I don't have that. But the reason I think I might actually legit have this is there's a test, aphantasia.com. There's a vividness of visual imagery quiz, and it basically asks you to close your eyes and visualize certain things, and then you rate how you were able to visualize that in your head from 1 to 5. So 1 being no image at all, you only know that you were thinking of the object, and 5 being perfectly clear and lively as a real seeing, and 3 being moderately clear and a bit lively. And every single one of them, it was a 1 for me, which I didn't realize was like, Can you, like, if you were to sit and close your eyes and think of a sun rising above the horizon into a hazy sky, like, can you see that?
I can see it like I'm looking at it through a toilet paper tube. Like it's removed from me and it's really limited. Like I don't have, I'm not like in the scene with a lot of periphery around me, but I can picture a sun coming up.
You can
the horizon.
Picture that.
Yeah. I can, well, I mean, I don't know. I think so.
Fuck, man, crazy. Okay. I'm going to do some more digging into this and maybe on my other podcast on Sick Boy Podcast. You can go check it out, sickboypodcast.com.
But I'm terrible with faces.
You
so
are, yeah, you, right. You are. Yeah, you definitely are.
It's
you
horrifying.
For sure have some of that prognopocopasia.
Listen, friends who I know,
prosopagnosia.
Friends whose faces I know, or people, you know, this fucking happens to me sometimes with people we've had on the podcast where I'll run into them in a different context or I'll run into people outside the studio, the yoga studio, and I'm like, I don't know how well we know each other. You're waving at me, but yeah. I don't know if a hug is a pro. Yeah. Thank God that I don't have to. I'm just kidding.
But I think prosopagnosia is more so
like
you
I don't.
I've been married
your
for
face.
8 years. Yeah, and you don't recognize my face. It's different from like. I think everyone has that thing where it's like, oh, I feel like did we go to high school together? And they're like, no, we met at a party like 3 years ago. Mm. And you're like, fuck, I don't know.
That's different.
Anyway, I'm gonna do some digging on that. But you're right. Let's throw to this week's conversation because this was already almost an hour.
we did chat with our friend coming up here in the next few minutes. We chatted
Brent
back. I want to say like over a month ago because we haven't actually done any new recordings with guests since my dad passed, and or we've only done a couple. And we'll be getting back into that regularly scheduled recording sessions. But so this one's from a little bit ago, and it sure does have a plot twist near, you know, about 3/4 of the way through. So
it does.
So buckle up. And just a reminder that if you or someone you know would like to have access to the transcripts of our show, they're available on thisen.co. That's thisen.co.
Thisten.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, enjoy this episode, folks. And babe, I love you.
I love you.
And
too. Happy Pride to all of our friends.
Yep. We hope you had a wonderful Pride, whatever that was for you this year. And we know that it wasn't the same as it used to be, but nothing is in this COVID weird fucked up time that we are currently living in. So,
onwards.
I got a phone call coming in. Enjoy our conversation with Brent.
Bye. Tell that I'm sitting in a wheelchair.
No, are you?
Yeah.
It looks.
I guess you can kind of see.
Oh
it
yeah,
on the...
yeah, yeah. Look at that.
But
you make wheelchairs look good, babe.
Thanks. This one's really quite comfortable. Actually, I can get everywhere I need to go. The wheels run really smoothly in all directions.
Is this your Nana's? Oh, your dad's.
Yeah. Well, it was my Nana's.
Nana.
Yeah.
Nana died. Passed it down to your father. He just died, and now he's passed it on to you.
And now I may never get out of this chair if history is going to.
It does look quite comfortable.
It's a good thing. It's a nice way to get around. I can see how making this transition is comfortable.
No fucking shit. Like this wheelie chair I'm in. You guys can see this. I haven't stood up in 3 weeks. I just wheel to the fucking kitchen. I sleep here. It's great.
You really only need to exist from the waist up to do your job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, well, yeah.
I mean, not good.
So the real question is, when's the last time you put pants on?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Actually, one of the big things that I've learned throughout this entire process was like how hard I'm lacking in like comfortable pants. It's, you know,
I think of you as being so good at that. Pants, comfortable pants.
Yeah. Well, so I get it. Maybe Becca just took them all when she went to fucking Yellowknife. Like, here's the thing is that for some reason, all the women that I've like decided to like spend my life with.
To store your clothes with.
To, Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. To store my clothes with? I'm about to say that all the women that I've decided to spend my life with have just taken all my clothes. The two of you have literally just taken all of my fucking clothing. Do you have my comfy pants?
I don't have any of your comfy pants. Jesus I don't Christ. Have any of
when
your
you,
comfy pants.
When the,
fu- I might,
the fuck are you
I
coming
might,
home?
I might have a pair of your socks.
Okay. This is now turning into a domestic spat. Yeah. We're here with our new friend Brent. You can't see Brent, but God damn it, you are rocking a mustache that any fucking human with the right mind would be envious of. I am not quite there, but I'm telling you right now. I said it on the podcast a little while ago. I'm rocking the mustache and I'm feeling it. And this might be my new staple. Brent, are you, I know that this was that you're in the same boat as me, as in this is like a pandemic, coping mechanism. Do you think you're going to keep the handlebar once this is done?
I think the handlebars will probably go, but I will keep the mustache. Yeah. I think
fair enough.
I need some bit of facial hair. It's been, probably 6 years since I've been completely clean shaven, so I don't know if I can part with it fully.
Mm. How many people have seen it?
Only about four. Holy I sent some pictures to people as
right,
well.
Right. Oh, I feel exclusive. I feel like I'm in a club.
Do you have?
Yeah, you look less than 10.
Less than 10. That's it. We can gather legally. Outside. But let's gather together, all of us who've seen Brent's handlebar mustache, as soon as possible.
So, Brent, you are you're a Canadian fella living in the great white north, and you applied to be on the show, I'm guessing, a while ago, because we're Brady, you've been kind of going through the list and just like plucking out people that have applied to be on the show from.
Well, because now we can. We can talk to anybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Brent, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but you were saying you're currently in a relationship and you ran by your partner that you're going to be on a podcast talking about your sexual life before we started recording. What's the deal with you and your partner? How long have you guys been together?
So we've been together about a year now, and like from the get-go, once we met, we both. We're kind of more interested in having an open relationship or a non-monogamous relationship. So it's just like started with that off the get-go, which was kind of interesting because I think both of us weren't really sure where our relationship was going because we didn't, it's not like we had a relationship beforehand and then decided to open things up. So we, for the longest while, like didn't really talk about it, didn't really have much of a dialogue on like what was happening or like boundaries or ground rules as far as sleeping with other people. I just blatantly,
Well, I was going to say, is that because I've been in that sort of situation when you're starting a new relationship and you know, it's like sometimes when you start a new relationship, you go so long where you're, There comes this period of time where you've been together for like an extended period of time, and you're kind of like in this limbo of like, what the fuck are we to each other? Like, are we a couple? Are we just sleeping together? Are we like, is this, how serious is this? And like, alongside with that, oftentimes I've found can come this, the same kind of conversation of like, how exclusive are we to one another? Like, Brady, you and I, when we first started dating, it was kind of the same thing where like we both had in our own fucking heads what we thought the relationship was going to be or was, which might not have matched each other's, you know, like preconceived thoughts or notions. And then all of a sudden you find, oh wait, we've been together for like, you know, a couple of months now. Was it that kind of scenario where it was like there just wasn't a lot of like meaningful communication between the two of you to figure out what was happening, and it was more so kind of just like blown with the wind?
Yeah, very much so. It wasn't like we were both kind of just like, I had made the assumption like, okay, she's probably sleeping with other people, I assume she's thinking I'm sleeping with other people, but there was no like conversation about like, oh, where, you know, where is this going, like you and I sort of thing. So that took a while for that to come to light, I guess, or to realize that there is actually something more between us than just like some sleeping together. And so it did take a little while for that sort of conversation to happen and to sort of realize that there is more of a relationship that could be between us.
And when that started to happen, was that, did you then have a conversation about like the word specifically non-monogamy or, you know, open relationship?
Yeah. Like we had briefly touched on it when we first started seeing one another, and then, you know, after it took, I don't know, maybe 4 months or so to actually kind of have that conversation again about like how we see that working with other people and what we would want with it, whether it's, and it kind of turned out more to be just like connections with other people, not necessarily like ongoing relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, yeah, it was kind of new to me. This is kind of like the first non-monogamous relationship I had been in. So it was sort of new ground, I guess.
How did that go ahead, Brad?
I think I was probably going to ask the same thing as you, Jeremy. What was the monogamy conversation like, or was that a conversation
between her and I?
Yeah, like you're not. Are you currently in an open relationship?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I thought at some point you had you'd said that you started it as an open relationship, and I think I made the assumption that meant that it is no longer. So it sounds to me like dating, like, you know, like I would say the same thing about my partner and I here is just like we kind of we hung out a lot for a couple months before there was any conversation of like, yeah, are we boyfriend and girlfriend or like whatever. And it's during that phase of time that like if he was sleeping with other people or if I was sleeping with other people, it may not have even been like necessary to tell each other. So I don't mean that in like you keep secrets from each other, but it's like assumed. I always assumed it was assumed in early like weeks of dating that people were sleeping and dating other people.
I guess it has kind of changed, like, but that is, it was assumed in that we were kind of sleeping with other people at the beginning. But once we both kind of realized that there was a bit more to it, as far as like our connection, we just decided to kind of put things on the back burner for a little bit and focus on her and I. And now we're at the point where, you know, we've both slept with other people. It took me a bit to kind of figure out exactly the reasoning why I wanted to also see other people. But now we're kind of at the point where we're more so just looking to bring someone else into the bedroom and have that shared experience, instead of kind of each going out on our own and having some fun.
Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That whole part, that whole like dating thing where like the conversation doesn't happen, I feel like that does a bit of a disservice to everyone. Like I feel like having that conversation kind of like, even though sometimes people might like take that conversation as like, whoa, pump the brakes. Like I don't want to fucking marry and have your kids, but like, you know, but there is something to value. There's some value to in the midst of like a budding relationship, whatever that might be, just like broaching the subject right off the bat of like, hey, like if we're doing this also just for like a sexual health, you know, sexual mm-hmm. health reasons. It's like, hey, are you seeing other people while we're doing this thing together? Like if they're not coming into that situation already with some sort of like awareness that there is other people in the picture, I think it's just like kind of an important thing to have. That's like my little PSA for anyone out there listening who's like potentially about to hook up with someone and
thinking like, oh, I don't have to tell anybody. It's fine.
Yeah, no, bring it up. Before we started recording, you mentioned that there was a particular, experience that you had with your partner where a friend came from out of town. What was that all about?
So she had mentioned it to me before, like well in beforehand, but the original intent was for her to go and visit him. So I thought, okay, that's, you know, that's easy. She's gone for the weekend. I don't have to worry about it. But as it happens, he ended up coming up here or to where we live for a week.
Okay, so this is a friend, as in like a past.
I don't think they had ever slept together, but there was definitely some chemistry there, and they were
sure,
kind of just
right.
looking to see what was there, if anything.
Got you. And like, was he coming from like, you know, fucking Germany, or like, was he just coming over like from a couple towns over, or? I mean,
like,
you don't have to say
like
where
seven.
He was coming. But he was making a fucking trip. Like it was a trip.
Yeah. He flew.
Wow.
He flew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that? Like, the fact that it ended up him ending up where the two of you are for the span of a week.
I was like, wow, okay. That's a big change. Instead of like you going there, it's him coming here and going to be here for a week. Like that's, but you know, I said, okay, I'm okay with it. I'll deal with it or accept it. So the first night he got in, I went over and we all had dinner together. And I was like, oh, great. He's really fucking cute. That's awesome. Like they're definitely going to fuck, you know, because he's like, he's very attractive. I was like, oh, if I was into guys, I'd sleep with him. Like, so that was very interesting going through those emotions and kind of sitting there through dinner and just thinking like, oh yeah, like they're definitely going to have sex. Like, and kind of just,
how early on into you two was this like into your relationship?
About four and a half months, probably.
Oh wow. Okay. So right, sorry, I cut you off there.
So that was a lot. It was a bit of a stressful week for me, but I dealt with it. We kind of talked about things. There were some things I realized in the middle of the week, like, oh my God, we haven't even really talked about the ground rules as far as with sleeping with other people, like, you know, just simple things like make sure they've been tested, you know, wear a condom, you know, use protection, mm-hmm. things like that. So, but I think it was good in a way because it kind of forced us to have those conversations and it forced the level of our communication to increase in our relationship. So it was, yeah, not the easiest week of my life, but in hindsight, I'm glad that it happened and like for our relationship that it happened the way that it did.
That's cool. That's cool to hear. I've been doing a lot of reading about like discomfort lately, and I've been teaching weekly yoga classes at Moto Halifax online. And my focus has been like this area where I experience like all of my jealousy, all of my most of my discomfort happens like right around my solar plexus, like right where my stomach is, and it fucks with my digestion and I'm a mess. But that just like I can feel that like that ache in my body if I try to imagine being in your shoes that week, because that feels like it sucked.
Yeah, I know that feeling too. Mm-hmm. It's like right under my gut.
It's lower. That's way lower like than lower, what I was saying. I'm saying it's right here.
Yeah, it's way low for me. It's like under my gut, and it's making me want to kind of like throw up right now.
It's like tar. It's like yeah, dinosaur tar.
Yeah. So what was that experience happened. I'm assuming that they did make fuck while
they did
in
make
town.
Fuck. Can confirm.
and so what came of that between the two of them?
I don't know. I think they still remain friends. I don't think it was anything ongoing. I know she went to go visit him another time, a little later on. I can't recall if anything happened or not, but you know, they still kept in contact and are friends.
Was
they
that hard
refer to each other as friends?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Was that hard for you when there was a secondary trip where she went to his remote island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? I have no idea.
No, that was much easier. Like, it was just like, okay, that's great. You know, say hi for me. I hope you enjoy your weekend. And yeah, that was kind of it.
That's really nice. That's nice. That's nice to hear that you were able to like come out of that first situation and then going into that secondary one, you know, without harboring or harvesting any sort of like fear or anger or resentment or whatever. I'm really bad at that. I hold on to shit, and I'm just it's one of the biggest things that I find so challenging in open relationships is letting go of like the familiarity of feelings that have crept up in the past. You know, and like it's just sequel after sequel after sequel. And I wish they were just one-offs, you know, like I don't want to see the sequel. I don't want a trilogy. I just want part one. That's all I need. just the one experience. What were you going to say, Bridie? You're there fucking laughing, like just laughing at me.
I wasn't laughing at anything. I was laughing at harboring or harvesting. I feel like you just put both those words in there knowing that like one of them was the
one of them
one.
Will work.
Harboring or harvesting, I don't know.
No, hold on now. No, hold on. They both work. Harboring is holding on to, right?
Yeah.
Right? Holding on to those shitty feelings, and harvesting is creating those shitty feelings. I'm doing both of those things.
I don't know if harvesting is creating the shitty. Harvesting would be
it's gathering. It's gathering.
pulling them out of the earth.
Yes, man. Gathering those shit feelings and putting them in my hands.
It implies some kind of processing, which is different than harboring. Harboring is just housing.
I'm looking this shit up. Harvesting. What would it be? That'd be harvesting as a verb?
Yeah.
Yeah, it means that you pick or gather it. You might harvest your sweet corn late in the summer.
I love nothing more than my favorite arguments with you are arguments about words.
You love my words.
I do.
I love my words.
I love the way you use words.
I use them without care.
Carelessly. Are you a romantic at all, Brent?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a, definitely a bit of a romantic.
Are you?
What does that mean? Speaking of words, what is that? What, like, how would I know? I'm surprised, Brent, that you even knew to say yes. How would I, like, am I romantic? I don't know. Am I one, Bride? I must be.
Why do you think?
Just, I don't know, like, because I get sad when I get, I don't know. I actually don't know.
you have no idea what it means.
I really don't. I mean, you know, like, how would I know?
Okay. Okay, this is I've looked it up because I don't actually know either the definition, and I've always claimed that I'm not a romantic person, but recently I've been like, oh, maybe I'm a romantic person, but I just my idea of romance isn't. Okay, this is what I found.
Okay.
This is the second definition. Of, characterized by, or suggestive of, an idealized view of reality.
Say that one more time.
Of, characterized by, or suggestive of, an idealized view of reality.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, like, you have an idea of what your reality should be, and so you really, like, stick to that and go by that and lean into it?
Well, the phrase is a romantic attitude towards the past. So, like, idealizing the past. Like, you know, I have a romantic view of my childhood, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I think in that way, because the very first definition is conducive to or characterized by the expression of love. So that's where I think we most commonly use the word romance. It's an idealized view of reality that's centered around love. I don't know what to call it, romantic love. Anyway, so you're a romantic?
I would say that I am. I think that's changed, but I definitely used to be more of a romantic. Like, for example, I was in Paris, France for a friend's wedding. How can you not fall in love in Paris? And I met this girl at the hostel, knew her for like 2 days. You know, and then we kept in contact afterwards. And then 8 months later, I flew to Australia to go and visit her.
That is truly, truly romantic. just hang on 1 second. Someone came to my door. Hello?
I still can't wrap my head around what romantic means, but that just sounds. I think that's exactly what it is. This is that. That's crazy romantic, Bridie. Do you now that you? Oh, you're having a conversation. Hi.
Thank you very much. For that.
Yeah. Hello, person.
Oh, thank you.
This is okay. So funny. Bridie's father just passed away. Are people just dropping off food left, right, and center now?
Yeah.
What an interesting thing, eh? Like, welcome to the neighborhood. Oh, you just had a kid. Oh, someone just died. Here's a bunch of food.
Yeah.
That we just do that. Is that a romantic gesture?
Nice because you know what? There's a lot about death that's romantic, and birth, obviously, and just humanity in general. But I mean, maybe that's the romantic in me saying that because I have an idealized view of it. But is it idealized or is it just real? I don't know.
This is such a romantic conversation.
I gotta get one of these cookies that guy just dropped off. I feel bad. I put him on the spot. I think I embarrassed him, and I'm gonna feel bad about that for at least 48 hours until I find out his name and apologize.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He walked in, and I was like,
No one can see this.
I know, but he doesn't know that. For all he knows, this could be broadcast live news.
He seemed very polite.
He was, and I. He was. I feel really bad, but I'm going to go eat one of his cookies.
Go grab a fucking cookie. Fuck's sakes. Were there any specific tools that like you went to or resources that you went to like help you through that kind of stuff? Or was it all just self-taught?
Mostly listening to this podcast.
Oh, cool. Well, that's neat.
That's awesome. Yay.
Yeah, I think this podcast has been really helpful for me to just like open my eyes and be more comfortable talking about certain topics and yeah,
feel like you have evolved? Like, can you see in sort of your rear view mirror your evolution as a sexual being over your life? Like, do you feel like you're seeing growth and evolution?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm thinking back years ago, I was very like closed off and shy, and you know, if something was bugging me in a relationship, I would never talk about it. I'd just like sit there and let it kind of boil on the inside. But yeah, there's definitely been a lot of growth over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so.
Yeah, I think it's really it's really mature to be able to walk through really uncomfortable feelings like that and know that, you know, they're temporary and they're also, you know, probably conditioned in certain ways, and that that it is possible to like to survive them and be better on the other side of it. Or like, I'm reading a lot right now. Obviously it's relevant to my life, but reading a lot right now, but like what is possible when you can basically really feel all of your feelings and realize that none of them are going to kill you. Like your grief and your jealousy and all of this stuff that like we generally are like, but we're supposed to be happy and happiness is the pursuit. And it's like, oh, well, what about everything else? Because mostly it's everything else. And yeah. So thanks for doing hard work. I know that shit's not easy.
I think for me, so this kind of goes back to the girl I met in Paris and traveled to Australia for. I guess it was a couple years ago now, but I went to Australia. We had a time together and things didn't work out as I guess we had both kind of thought they might. And then I went to visit a friend and ended up, hooking up with his roommate, during the time that I was there visiting him. And this girl was like, I couldn't even look at her. Like she was so, like she's like the sun. Like I thought if I looked at her too long that my eyes were just gonna melt out of my head and I would never be able to see again. Like she was
I know what you're saying.
Like I'm glad I have peripheral vision because that's all I could look at her with for like the longest while, just like so we ended up kind of getting together, and you know, I don't know how much of a connection was there, but I definitely would have wanted to see her again. And I ended up leaving. And then she died a week later in a plane crash. So that really like sent my life for a tailspin for, yeah. Then that was maybe probably 6 or 8 months before I met my current partner.
Wow.
So like that really forced me to kind of reevaluate things and basically not leave things unsaid if there's something I feel I have to say.
Yeah, no doubt. What a huge like hit, and like something to, I mean, the fact that you took like value out of that and like and learned something as like key as that sentiment is pretty huge. Cause that's really wild.
Yeah. It's hard to even like, you tell people that, and it's like, even myself, like, you know, sitting with that afterwards thinking like, how is this even real? Like how, like, you know, who does that happen to, you know? Or like, it was just such a, yeah, it's just such a crazy event, I guess, or sequence of events to have happen. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it was.
Man, death is such an interesting like teacher. You know, it's such a like. Brady, what were you just about to say?
I'm so curious to know what it was like immediately after that. Like, if you fall for somebody, and then that happens, and it's like you're not, you might kind of have like this very important connection to somebody, but not have their people to then grieve with when that goes away. And it must be a strange situation to grieve in where, you know, other people did not necessarily get to witness the connection that you mm-hmm. had. I was wondering, did you go through like a grieving process?
Yeah, definitely. And like, at least my one of my good friends was her roommate, and he was the one that called me and told me that the plane had crashed. So him and I, you know, we were checking in together, like, and he was in Australia, so we were checking in, you know, every week, every couple of weeks, whenever we needed to talk to another person. It was, you know, always him, because at least for him, it was, he could understand what I was kind of going through. Whereas like most other people in my life just had, you know, I how do you even bring that up and tell someone something like that? Mm-hmm. So
do you and your current partner discuss that?
We've talked about it. I haven't gone, like super in depth about it, but we've talked about it, and I've told her about it.
Does it feel like a significant part of your story?
I think it was definitely a big shift in my life. Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of wandering and a bit lost afterwards, just in terms of feeling anything for anybody. You know, I questioned like whether or not, you know, was that love, and it kind of just put everything up in the air for me. So it definitely took me a while to kind of even, you know, I still deal with it now, but, you know, maybe to a lesser extent than immediately after.
Yeah, because that's still less than like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was at the end of 2018.
Yeah, wow. What a unique sort of place to be. You know, like it seems like such a unique experience. Like that type of loss, you know, where there's mm-hmm. there's where there seems to be so much, so many questions and like unanswered questions of what does this mean now, and what could have been, and like that's just such a crazy unique position.
Yeah, it was like the what could have, like what, and, you know, was there a relationship there? It was, you know, it was only a week or a week and a half that I knew her. So it really mm-hmm. wasn't a lot of time to build a strong connection, but it was like, you know,
but in the time that you did get to know her, it was very intimate and very like real and very fast mm-hmm. and close. And, yeah, fuck, man. Wow. Have you ever talked to anyone about it? Like, have you ever, did you seek like grief counseling or anything like that? Or did you kind of just like process that on your own?
I thought about seeking professional help for a while. But I inevitably haven't yet, but I did do a lot of my own research and talk to a lot of, you know, talk to people when I was feeling, you know, down or like something was wrong. I would talk to my friends, and, you know, thankfully I have a lot of good people in my life who are willing to kind of sit there and let me vent and listen to it, especially, you know, my friend who went through the similar experience. Yeah. It was great to have him as a bit of a soundboard and kind of, but it took me a while to start processing it and get through it.
No doubt. Yeah.
But I, I had considered like going to get professional help, but I just didn't end up pulling the trigger on that one and doing it.
It's not always like the most necessary thing. I think there's a lot of value in processing those things as like a solo journey, you know, and especially if you're one who, like yourself, seems to be someone who is very capable of like having a sort of like internal discourse about how you feel about things and you know, your state of mind and what can be gleaned from that situation, you know. So yeah, I'm still blown away by that, by how unique of an experience that must have been. And
I picture like one a little beautiful little stone that's just kind of like in your pocket, you know, when those experiences, like Jeremy was saying too, like processing it on your own, or things like maybe they're not traumatic necessarily, but you can carry them around for a while and learn a lot from them. And you know, as time goes on and through, as the lens kind of changes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
It's okay.
You seem good. You seem great. You got that handlebar mustache. You got someone to give mustache rides to.
Things could be worse.
You're doing A-okay.
Well, Brent, I want to thank you for, you know, just shooting the shit with us, but also thanks for being so so vulnerable and so open to like just kind of going wherever this conversation ended up going. I love where it went, and I feel pretty grateful for starting my Monday with this conversation. So thank you. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been I love the show. You know, it's something that's definitely influenced my life, and I'm just glad I could be a part of it.
Now you're on the roster. You're on the team. Well, thank you again. And thank you all so much out there for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we'll be back next week with another wonderful conversation. And in the meantime, if you want to support the podcast, you can do that in two different ways. You can go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. You can do something on Spotify. I think you can like follow us or something on Spotify. That'd be cool. Secondly, you can go to patreon.com/turnmeon and support the podcast, with your wallets. Because this is, you know,
thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, patrons. Cause this patrons. Is kind of, you know, this is like a, this is a labor of love for Brady and I, and, we just love doing it for you. So if you love it too, join the club over there, patreon.com/turnmeon.
And you can reach out to us by email, BridieMcLean@gmail.com. Turnmeonpodcast.
That's your personal email now, is out there to the world.
Oh, God. And you know what? My computer's at 6% battery. I'm afraid I'm going to lose this whole episode if I don't just say, just email me. Email me direct.
Yeah, okay. Go to Instagram @turnmeonpodcast, and that's great. We love you all. That is it for this week.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.